الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعين به ونتوكل عليه، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق وخاتم الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا، أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين المكرمين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. قال الله العظيم في كتابه الكريم وهو أحسن القائلين وأصدق الصادقين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. For the purification of the souls, the enlightenment of the hearts, for the acceptance of the deeds, and for the hastening of the reappearance of Baqiyatullah al-A'zam, Ruhi wa Arwahu al-Alameen lahu al-Fida, enlightening your souls, purify your hearts with the salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Respected elders, sisters and brothers, salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This particular individual was, number one, a daughter of an imam of the Ahlul Bayt. She was, number two, a wife of an imam of the Ahlul Bayt. She was, number three, a mother of another imam of the Ahlul Bayt. And she was, number four, the grandmother of another imam of the Ahlul Bayt. An outstanding person whom truly is considered to be one of the beacons of spirituality and excellence within the religion of Islam and the history of this religion, and a person that needs to be understood, deserved, and remembered to be learned from in our lives. If I was to ask you today to name the mother of the fifth holy Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn al-Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, it is with sadness that perhaps we will find many within the Muslim world, and including the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, who will have blank faces. When I come forward and look at the illustrious life of the Ma'sumin, peace and blessings be upon them, every single aspect of their existence is purity, is excellence. Everything about them is brilliant, and you and I would do whatever it takes to get close to them, and we would give our lives for them, no doubt. Not a single follower of Ali Muhammad would dispute that I or anyone else who claims to be a Shi'i, a Muwali, a lover of these holy individuals, whose entire creation and existence was for the sake of the propagation of the religion of Allah, and their entire lives was for Tawheed and to get you and I to Jannah, we would do everything to place happiness in their hearts, no doubt. But the question that I would like to pose is, how many mothers of the Ahlul Bayt and the Imams do we know? If today somebody comes and tells us, you claim to love Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, you claim to love Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi, you claim to love Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, peace and blessings be upon them, all tell us about their mothers. Because I tell you, there is no doubt that a great portion of their excellence and their dedication of these holy individuals, no doubt, is due to their fathers, the Imams. But also, we must never forget their mothers. Let me give you an example. In the battle of Saffin, there is a son by the name of Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya, of the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Mawla al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. This particular individual, yes, was the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen from one of his wives. When he came towards the Battle of Safin, he emerged into the battlefield. They said to him, "Oh Muhammad, why are you fighting?" Yes, and Hassan and Hussein have not yet emerged. He said, "I am the son of Ali. Hassan and Hussein are the sons of Muhammad. And it is the duty of the son of Ali to protect the sons of Muhammad." Then what happened was, he went to the battlefield, but there was a great number of arrows that were shot on him to the extent that he retreated and returned to Amir al-Mu'mineen. When he returned, Imam looked at him and said, Imam was disappointed why he has returned. But he said a famous line. He said, "Idruk arqan min ummik." This is because you return, not because you are the son of Ali, because you are not the son of Fatima. Because there is an important role that the mother plays too. Yes? You retreated from the battlefield. Muhammad ibn Hafi, an outstanding individual. Generally speaking, our ulama praise him, look at him favorably, despite the fact that he would, in many occasions, yes, encourage or to ask Sayyid al-Shuhada to not go to Karbala, like many others, like Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Zubair and others. Yet, some of them said it out of compassion, out of worry, yes, and including Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya, who is likely to have been the eyes and the ears of the Imam in Medina. But there was a problem, isn't it? That Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya displayed some forms of what? Lack of courage in certain instances. And that is why the role of the mother becomes so important within the religion of Islam and what? And within the teachings in the Quran and the blessed statements of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdalus salatu wassalam. And that's why you find that when it comes to the remembrance of the Holy Fifth Imam on a night like this, when we are honoring the anniversary of his Shahada, perhaps it is worthwhile to remember a unique individual in history who is the daughter of an Imam, who is the wife of another Imam, who is what, the mother of another Imam and the grandmother of another Imam. She is related directly to four Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. There is no woman like her in this particular aspect. And that is Fatima bint al-Hasan, the daughter of the second holy Imam, Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Fatima bint al-Hasan was amongst the most beloved and the greatest of the sons and daughters of the second holy Imam. In the words of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in al-Kafi al-Sharif, yes, as we will come to later, Fatima is one, is whom? Is the one who married the fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Sajjad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Fatima is the one who gave birth to the fifth holy Imam. And Fatima is the one who indeed was what? Was instrumental in the raising of the sixth holy Imam as his grandmother. Yes. The recognition that immediately comes to the fore for you and I is that perhaps, and Allah knows best, we have not done justice to the mothers of the Masumi. In the recognition that when you look at the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala praises mothers only and does not rebuke any mother, whereas He rebukes some wives. Please understand this. You say to me, is there a difference between wife and a mother? Yes, not every wife is a mother, but every mother is a wife. No doubt, yes? In the recognition that there are some wives condemned in the Quran, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. Allah says a parable, as a multitude for those disbelievers are the wives of Prophet Nuh and Prophet Lut. كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Yes, those were individuals who committed treachery in terms of what? In terms of telling the enemies the location and secrets of the lives of these prophets of Allah. Yet you examine the mothers in the Holy Quran, And the Quran only speaks of beauty and excellence. The mother of whom? The mother of Prophet Musa, ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa alayhi afdal salatu wa salam. How she was instrumental that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala places this special intuition in her heart, ilham, to go and what? Suckle her own son, who is not with her, and was taken in the palace by Fir'aun. You see that today in the pilgrimage of Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all of those who are able to perform Hajj next year, inshallah. And when the situation arises, inshallah. And this is something we said last year, but we will say it. When the door opens for Hajj, when the door opens for Umrah, when the door opens for Ziyarah, and I know the door for Ziyarah is open to a certain extent, especially for Ziyaratul Arba'een, those mu'mineen and mu'minat who are healthy and are double vaccinated, let's be more specific from the member, yes? Do not hold back from the Ziyarah of Aba Abdullah in Arba'een. This year, show your love towards Sayyid al-Shuhada, yes? We've all missed that amazing sight of the dome of the grandson of Rasulullah, standing bayn al-Haramayn, yes? Looking at his blessed dome and then turning towards the dome of his altruistic, faithful, beloved brother, Abu al-Fadl Abbas, peace and blessings be upon him. Do not necessarily hold back from demonstrating your love and loyalty towards Sayyid al-Shuhada, this Arba'een, yes? At the same time, when the opportunity arises for what? For Hajj and Umrah, let's utilize every opportunity to be present in those places. I understand the concerns that I have had with a few people who have said, when I go to Umrah or when I go to Hajj, I am giving money towards a government that is oppressive, that is killing innocent people in Yemen. Therefore, I don't want to go. I am telling you now, do not fall into this trap. The Shia of Ali Muhammad must be present in Mecca and Medina. The dua of Allahumma kulli waliyika must be heard around the Kaaba. The ziyara of Baqi' and Rasulullah must take place by the Shia of Ali Muhammad. Let us not leave Medina, the city of the Ahlul Bayt, to those who despise the Ahlul Bayt. When we come to the position of mothers, there is no doubt that they occupy a very important segment towards the respect that we have to give towards parents within the religion of Islam. Sometimes when we speak about mothers and the impact and the merits of mothers, some of the fathers are a little bit uncomfortable. Yes, when they hear a hadith that once a man came to the Holy Messenger, Rasul al-A'zam wa Nabi al-Akram, Muhammad al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. When he came to him, he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, Inni rajunul mudhnib. I am somebody who has committed many sins. Tell me of a prescription so that my sins are forgiven. The Prophet of Islam says to him what? He says to him, is your father or mother alive? He says, my father is alive. He says, go and ask him to pray for you. It's a dua of the parent. Yes, don't underestimate. If your parents are still alive, ask them to pray for you. You have a hajj that's not happening, it's not really working out. Make sure what you turn to your parents. When the man left, the Holy Messenger looked at the companions or those around him and said famously, if his mother was alive and he had gone to ask her, Allah would have forgiven him quicker. Some fathers don't like this hadith. But it is not me, a fallible individual, who's saying it. It's the best human being, and this is reported from him. In the recognition that when the hadith says al-jannatu tahta aqdam al-ummahat, ummak thumma ummak thumma ummak thumma abak, this is not a trivial matter. Yes? In the recognition of how mothers can truly build the very fabric of a society. How they are very important. And that's why when it comes to the mothers of the ma'sumeen, we recognize that they are pure. We recognize theologically they have a particular status within the school of Ahlul Bayt. Ashhadu annaka kunta nuran. في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة. In زيارت وارث we say يا أبا عبد الله, no, those who have misunderstood you do not know that you were a rising light, an illuminating light that was passed between the loins that were pure and the wombs that were tahir. Yes? That is how we should be looking at these holy individuals. When I study the lives of the mothers of Ma'sumeen, Ummahatul Ma'sumeen, I recognize they have a special status in the eyes of Allah. Many of them have been specifically chosen by the Almighty Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, yes, to be the ones that carry the representative of Allah on this earth. And they would have never, ever worshipped anyone other than Allah. Yes? They would not have been individuals who have committed any form of dhulm, because the womb and what the mother does sometimes passes on to the children. Today, science actually tells us about this. Yes. Now, when we come to Fatima, this great lady, who was her mother? Her mother was a lady by the name of Ishaq bint Talha al-Tamimi, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayha. Now, Ishaq has a very special status. You know, some of these are great ladies that sadly many of us have not necessarily heard of. And we come across them here and there. But partly the reason why many of the, you know, followers of the Ahlul Bayt perhaps do not come across the mothers of the Ahlul Bayt or some of these great women in Islamic history. And I found a book written in Qum about 30 years ago by one of the teachers in Qum with his wife. The book is called A'lam al-Nisa al-Mu'minat. A'lam al-Nisa al-Mu'minat has over 400 biographies of great women within the school of Ahlul Bayt from the time of the Holy Prophet until recent times. 400 great women. Yes? Their biographies, sometimes brief, whatever we have. Another reason is there was a concerted effort to try and what? To try and distort, or history unfortunately has not been kind to present to us knowledge, sufficient information about these holy individuals. And sometimes we have some bits of information about these blessed people. This great lady, Ishaq, was married to Imam al-Hasan, peace be upon him. And Imam al-Hasan loved her very much. And he made a special will to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that after I die, I want you to marry her. Ishaq, I want you to marry her. There are narrations that point to the presence of this great lady, Ishaq, in Karbala. Yes? Imam al-Husayn, peace and blessings be upon him, Sayyid al-Shuhada, married her, what? After the time had lapsed of the martyrdom of the second holy Imam. Now, before this had happened, who? Fatima was born many, many years before. And we are told when the fourth holy Imam was what, 17 years of age, he married this great lady. He married her. We don't know how old she was. We don't know much about her date of birth. But we know that it was a special union between an Imam of the Ahlul Bayt and a daughter of an Imam of the Ahlul Bayt. Yes? And of course, they were blessed with a child who was the fifth holy Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. The marriage was a few years before the 10th of Muharram. The birth of the fifth Imam was on the 1st of Rajab, year 57 after Hijrah. So of course, on the 10th of Muharram, year 61 after Hijrah, we find whom Ishaq was present on the plains of Karbala. Fatima bint al-Hasan, the mother of the fifth Imam, was present in Karbala, as well as, of course, Baqir al-Ulum, peace and blessings be upon him, was someone who witnessed the tragedy despite his young, tender age of 3. She was under this household of nobility and purity, yes? And narrations tell us that she had karamat, she had maqamat, she had special status. Imam al-Baqir, this I found narration in Al-Kafi al-Sharif. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, once my mother Fatima was sitting, by the way, Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, according to different narwayat, had approximately 15 or so sons and daughters. And narrations tell us that he had probably three or four daughters by the name of Fatima. Just like the seventh Imam, he also had four daughters by the name of Fatima. They loved the name of Fatima. And why would anyone not love the name of Fatima? Yes. What happened was that Lady Fatima bint al-Hasan radhiyallahu ta'ala alayha was sitting, and all of a sudden there is a wall that is about to collapse. And people were around her. They said, that's it. It will definitely collapse on her. She looked at the wall and said, "Uqsimu alayk. I ask you by the name of Allah, do not move." People said, "We saw it freeze in mid-air." Yes. This is where in Al-Kafi. Yes. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says that my mother stopped the wall from collapsing onto her until she moved. And then my father gave what? Gave 100 dinar as sadaqah for this particular blessing that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had blessed her. Similarly, we find a narration from the sixth holy Imam, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Who comes forward and says what? Who comes forward and said that kanat Fatima Siddiqa. The word of the Ma'soom. When a Ma'soom said that a lady was not only truthful. In Arabic language, we have Sadiq and we have Siddiq. Yes? Siddiq is Sighatul Mubalagha, meaning something that is exaggerated regarding an attribute or a quality. The sixth holy Imam says that my grandmother was not only truthful, she was the embodiment of truth to the extent that people look at her and remember truth. Yes? She was Siddiqa and the best amongst Alul Hasan. Lam yakun fi Alul Hasan mithla. There is no one in the family of Al Hasan who is like her. In the words of the sixth holy Imam. Yes. In the recognition that when we look at these holy individuals and when they attain these titles, such as Siddiqa, for example, this gives us an indication how they live their lives. This gives us an indication of how they, for example, dealt with issues in life. Because when you and I today live in a society whereby it is encouraged to deceive, it is encouraged to lie, it is encouraged to hide the truth, so that things get done, so that our work is fulfilled, so that processes are achieved. And sometimes you find people using religion to justify going against religion. Have you seen this? This is on the rise these days. They come and say, "Maulana, these are non-Muslims, and so Allah allows us to lie to non-Muslims." You know who is the one who used religion to go against religion? The first, the Khawarij. Yes, the Khawarij were the ones who came forward, would recite the Quran the best, would recite Salah throughout the whole night, but they were as far away from religion as possible. Yes, similarly, all their followers, including the worst people on the earth, and that is what those Daesh individuals, yes, those terrorist organizations, today they come and justify their killings, their beheadings, their burnings, everything that they do through religion, isn't it? Yes. In the recognition that today you have people who come forward and talk about the movement of Sayyid al-Shuhada, and they say what? They say what about Sayyid al-Shuhada? خَرَجَ عَنْ حَدِّهِ فَقُتِلَ بِسَيْفِ جَدِّهِ. That Hussein was a Muslim. Hussein was the grandson of the Holy Prophet. But he exceeded the limits. Therefore, he was killed by the sword of his grandfather. This is today being mentioned on YouTube by muftis of big countries out there, followed by millions of Muslims. Yes? The recognition is we must not also fall onto the same trap, maybe in a lesser, smaller scale, in our business transactions, in our dealings with non-Muslims, in our dealings with our own communities, in our dealings with our own families. Allahu Akbar, how today this is being justified. The hiding of the truth, the manipulation, the fabrication, the distortion that sometimes we see happening when it comes to interactions, transactions, and other aspects in our lives today. A reminder of the necessity of sidq in every aspect of our life, to follow in the footsteps of these great individuals. And there is no doubt, when you look at the life of the Holy Fifth Imam, when you recognize that he was known as Baqir al-Ulum, yes, there is a great role that his mother played. I tell you, many a times today, when you speak about Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, people will tell you about his knowledge. People will tell you about his excellence when it comes to debating others. For example, once a Christian man came to him and said to him, "Are you from amongst us or from those who are blessed? Ummatul marhuma." He said, "I am from those who are blessed." He said, "Are you from the scholars or from the ones who are ignorant?" Imam alayhi salam said, "I am not of those who are ignorant." The man said, "Then fine, let me ask you three questions. The first is, you say that in Jannah there's no excretion. There is no need to go and what, to the restroom, bathroom, and so on. How is that possible? A human being definitely, yes, requires to empty their bowels, requires to do this." Imam alayhi salam says, "Look at the fetus inside the womb of the mother. They don't need to go and what, empty their bowels. There is no such thing. So you believe in that particular existence. Why not believe in Jannah without the necessity of this?" He said, "Tim, tell me a time that is what, neither in the day or neither in the night." He said, the hour between Fajr and sunrise, or the time between Fajr and sunrise, does not fall either to the night or to the day." He said, "Then if you ask, I'm going to ask you the third final question. If you are able to answer this question, then I know that you are of the people of knowledge." He said, "What is it?" He said, "That I am asking you, tell me of a name of a person who, or two people, who were born on the same day, died on the same day, both of them, but one of them was 50 years of age and the other was 150. Only Ali Muhammad can rise to the responsibility. Only they can answer these questions." Yes? Imam Ali Salam, without hesitation, said to him, "This is Uzair and Uzairah." Some narrations say other names, yes? They're brothers, yes? Uzair, the one mentioned in the Holy Quran. He says, when they were 25 years of age, what happened was, Uzair went on this journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him die. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعَثَ 100 years, he died. Then he was brought back, yes? When he was brought back, he's still, what? 25, in that sense. And his, what, brother was 125. They lived for another 25 years. One died 50, and the other died at the age of 150. Such is the extent of the knowledge of whom? Of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhum as-salam. And one of the signs that people ask us today, yes? They say, "How do you know these were their most excellent and the most brilliant of people of their time?" I say to them, "Tell me, have you found narrations or stories or debates where they were presented with people from different religions, people who had questions, and they came to them and they said, 'We don't know'? Give me evidence where any of the Ahlul Bayt came and did not answer people's questions. Questions that had proper answers, yes? That deserve to be answered, right?" And therefore the recognition is that this great lady, Fatima, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayha, was somebody that was beloved to the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. Beloved because she left a legacy. Beloved because she was amongst those who would narrate hadith. One of the ahadith narrated from Fatima bint al-Hasan is hadith Radd al-Shams. Yes, famous story in which the Holy Prophet Rasul al-A'zam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Was once, what, asleep, and his head was on the lap of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And when his head was on, on the lap of Amir al-Mu'mineen, what? He was asleep for a particular period of time. It was time for the Imam to pray his Asr. He had not performed his Asr Salah, and the Imam did not wish to disturb whom? Did not wish to disturb the Holy Prophet of Islam. And the sun would set, isn't it? The sun would set, and then the Imam would say to the Prophet after he had woken up that this is the story so far. The Prophet of Islam would raise his hand and would say, "Allahumma rudda shamsa li Ali." Yes. Oh Allah, return back the sun in order for Ali ibn Abi Talib to perform his salah. And people witnessed this miracle. And by the way, until very recently, in Medina after I conducted thorough research for a book on the mosques in Medina, historical mosques in Medina. The mosque of Radd al-Shams was still called the mosque of Radd al-Shams until the name was changed. Yes? That people recognized that this was the area in which what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed humanity, one of the fada'il of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Yes? And therefore you recognize that one of the things that people would remember this honorable lady is that she was one of the sabaya, one of the captives that was taken from one city to another, that had to witness Sham Ghariba, had to witness the cruelty of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad and Yazid ibn Muawiyah and Bani Umayyah between Kufa and Sham. She had to go through the suffering of Ali Muhammad. She, like the other ladies, was running from one tent to another. I ask you, Imam al-Baqir was only 3 years of age. But narrations tell us that he was able to remember the Masa'ib of Karbala. Imam al-Baqir would see the daughters of Rasulullah and the daughters of Ali, their dress catching fire, running from one place to another. He would see how the army of Yazid would storm their tents and would snatch whatever they can. He would see how they, for example, would pull an earring from the daughter of Hussein, causing her ears to bleed profusely. But I tell you, perhaps a sight, O Imam, that indeed you will never forget as a young child that you had to witness when he and the Ahl al-Bayt were sitting inside the tent. And all of a sudden, Imam Zain al-Abidin hears something. He says to his auntie, Auntie Zainab, I hear something breaking. It is as if glass is being broken. Sayyida looks outside the tent. She says, oh my dear nephew Ali, they have trampled on the body of... They have smashed the hooves of the horses on the chest of your father Hussein. Imam al-Baqir had to see this, yes? But I tell you, Imam al-Baqir, one of the most difficult moments in his life was when he was bidding farewell to his father, Imam Zain al-Abidin. The narrations tell us, in those final moments of the life of Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Baqir was next to his father. He was bidding farewell to him. The tears were trickling down from his eyes, seeing the state of a sajjad. That moment, Imam al-Baqir decided to hug Imam Zain al-Abidin. To which Imam Zain al-Abidin began to cry, to shed even more tears. Imam al-Baqir said to him, Father, why have you cried more? What is it that I have done? Imam al-Sajjad said, My son Muhammad, you are next to me. You are consoling me. You are bidding farewell to me. I remembered there was no one next to my father Hussein. He was gharib on the plains of Karbala. He was all alone on the plains of Karbala. There was no one next to him in his final moments. Imam al-Baqir, according to the riwayah, now places his head on the chest of his father. This is the wida', this is the final farewell. Imam al-Sajjad begins to cry more. Oh my son, I feel the warmth of your chest, of your head on my chest, but I wonder what my father Hussein felt on his chest. Allahu Akbar. Yes, Imam Zain al-Abidin remembers the final moments of the life of Imam al-Hussein, Imam al-Baqir, all the imma alayhum as-salam. Tonight, as we remember the musibah of Aba Abdullah, as we remember the shahadat of Imam al-Baqir, there are majalis happening everywhere in around the world. There are majalis in Karbala, there are majalis in Mashhad, there are majalis in Qom, there are majalis in different cities. Yes, in the Western world. But there is a place where there is no majlis. Yes, next to Jannat al-Baqi', next to Imam al-Baqir, there is no one remembering the musibah of Aba Abdullah. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimin. Wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyaman qalabin yanqalibuna wal'aqibatu lil-muttaqina wa inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله. We have gathered to remember, of course, the anniversary of the Shahada of the Holy Fifth Holy Imam, who is so beloved to our hearts. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see the day in which Jannatul Baqi' is rebuilt once again. Ya Allah, we beg you and we beseech you. We want to stand there and see the shrines of the four Imams. Ya Allah, we want to beat our chests next to the shrines of the four Imams in Baqi'. Ya Allah, allow us to visit and perform the ziyara and hold majalis and mourn and cry and serve the zuwar of A'immatul Baqi'. Ya Rabbal Alameen. We have also gathered to remember a marhuma who passed away nearly a month or so ago, Marhuma Farhana Khalid. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless her soul and to raise her with Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant her the opportunity of the visitation from the Holy Ahl al-Bayt in Alam al-Barzakh and the Shafa'a in Akhirah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask, O Allah, the thawab of this majlis in remembrance of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. We give the thawab to the soul of Marhuma Farhana Khalid. And all the Marhumeen, I ask you to recite Suratul Mubarakatul Fatiha for her soul and the soul of all your beloved, those who've passed away, the souls of all our Maraja, Shuhada, the Khadama, the servants of Imam al-Hussein, and those all who passed away with Iman, with the Wilaya of Ali Muhammad, Al-Fatiha.